Welcome back to the 65th regular convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Randy Asbury, joined by Rod Zwanitzer and now Dr. Carl Fekencher. We're coming to you live on Worldwide KFUO from the convention, last day of business. Welcome, Carl. Good to have you joining us.
Great to be here. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it.
You bet. Now, you have a lot of things you want to talk about, but a short period of time. So tell us some of your impressions of the convention thus far.
Well, I think it's been a noteworthy convention by virtue of being not as noteworthy as some, and that's
I love the way you phrase that.
Noteworthy by not being noteworthy.
Yeah.
And that's not a negative comment at all. What I really mean by that is that a lot of good business has been taken care of in a very comfortable way, without a lot of contention. And anytime you've got serious business, especially serious business of the church to take care of, you'd like to see it done in a way that is collegial, where the brothers and sisters in Christ are supportive of each other, listen to each other very well. And I think that's taken place very nicely. The elections, of course, are always a highlight. It's great to see our president returned again to office for 3 more years, and some excellent vice presidents, excellent board members in many positions. And I think the resolutions have been, for the most part, debated rather fully, so that people have been able to speak and be heard, and people have listened to one another with some very productive results.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier about how a lot of the resolutions were passed in the 90 percentile, which is just amazing, and even controversial ones were in the upper 70s.
Absolutely.
How refreshing is that?
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think I noted one of the lowest returners being at about 78%. You know, 3/4 of the church agreed on that matter as well, and so many of them have been wonderfully high percentages. And that has included some resolutions that, of course, we're all on board with, but it's great to see things like the fellowship with the Lutheran Church of Liberia declared, and so on. All the interactions with our partner churches that now are consummated at the convention as a result of 3 years of, and in some cases many more years, of conversation between our leadership and the leadership of those churches. Those are always huge highlights, because with those developing Lutheran churches around the world, we've had a wonderful relationship, and in many ways, those church bodies do look to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for guidance, for encouragement, and what a wonderful opportunity for us. I've talked to a number of people about some of these resolutions, for example, and these actions, and you know, sometimes we can be a little discouraged with ourselves. The numbers in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are lower in terms of membership and so on than they were a few years ago. But my goodness, when we see how God is using our church body here in the United States to touch, to influence, to be helpful to confessional Lutherans all over the world, it's magnificent. We think about the potential that is out there now for our relationship with the Lutheran Church of Ethiopia, over 6 million Lutherans there. Our church body really is having an opportunity to be God's instrument to open doors for the gospel to millions and millions and millions of people worldwide. Those are always exciting activities of the convention.
And maybe in doing that, you know, we can pray that the latter rains would shower a little bit on this North America, too, that we love. And speaking of that, Carl, a lot of chatter and great chatter about the requests from these our international brothers and sisters in Christ of wanting our theological mother load, the seminaries and our pastors, to come and teach them, to not only send professors and teachers over there, and Pastor Asbury did that, but also to allow some of their people to come to our seminaries. And so you at Fort Wayne have experienced that, and we hope that even increases. So tell us the joys of having these international people wanting to come and sit at the feet of yourself and your fellow faculty members.
Well, that is delightful. You're right, Rod. And it really works both ways. You're gracious in speaking of them sitting at the feet of the faculty here, And that's been a wonderful experience. My first year at the seminary, for example, we were very much in the midst of the Russian project, and one of the first courses I taught was the second homiletics course to about 15 students from the former Soviet Union. And they were marvelous students, and now for a number of years, they've all been pastors back in the various republics, preaching Christ there in a church body, for example, in fellowship with ours and others that we're working together with. That's magnificent. It's been a delight to be a part of that. And we are thrilled for all of those students from so many partner churches or prospective partner churches to come to Fort Wayne and study with us. We know that really does have a global impact, likewise for our professors to travel. But it works both ways in that we at the Fort Wayne Seminary and our students who come from North American Missouri Synod congregations are so richly blessed by that exposure. While the Global Seminary Initiative was being discussed in the convention the other day, one of my former students, I thought, had one of the most really touching speeches of the convention when he talked about how his very best friend in his time at the seminary was one of our international students and how the two of them became very close and continue to be very, very close. So our student who is serving now in the Montana district has had his perspective on the gospel going out so magnificently broadened by the experience he had with his friend at the seminary. Now, that friend has gone home and been a proclaimer of Christ in his home church as well around the world. But for our students who come from North American settings to have that broader exposure will always, throughout their ministries, continue to be a truly enriching background that also enriches their own North American, Montana, Iowa, California, Texas congregations.
I never thought of that. And so these international students studying over here touch the student body, the faculty, the congregations, the community. And so it's like worldwide KFUO, it's like worldwide Concordia Theological Seminary.
We're thrilled for that. It really is a big part of what we do in Fort Wayne. And we're delighted with that, absolutely.
And it must give you great joy and thanks to our Lord that you, in a small way, are influencing the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the far parts of the world. And I know you're really into preaching. Tell us about some of the things that God has you involved in. It's just marvelous to see, and we praise God for that, Carl.
Sure. Well, you're again very gracious. It's thrilling. You bet it is to have a part in forming the proclaimers and therefore the proclamation of the gospel to men who will serve in the United States and around the world. It really is something that you swallow hard at. It's very sobering. It's very humbling, and it's very thrilling to think that God gives you an opportunity to help equip men who will then proclaim the gospel for many, many years to hundreds and thousands of people around the world, knowing that every time the gospel is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit can work to create or strengthen faith in the hearts of those hearers. I mean, people will be in heaven for eternity because of the preaching of the guys who have come to our seminary, and to get to be a part of that formation is absolutely thrilling. It really is exciting.
And, you know, one of your former students, I had a chance just to interview him on my book talk program, Pastor Chris Toma, mm-hmm. up in Heartland, Michigan, who has this wonderful Kindle book on the homiletical canvas, using poetry to inspire. And I told him, reading this just to review it has touched my preaching. I don't preach as much, but I'm going to do chapel here next week before I leave for vacation. They're going to hear a new preacher.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get in a rut, and it's hard to get out of that rut.
Right.
But things like this and pastors going back to the SEMS and refresher courses like you have, I think, right before your symposia.
Right.
For the Lenten series.
Right.
It does help, doesn't it, Randy?
It does. Carl, you were talking about pastoral formation. I'm curious your thoughts on the SMP discussion that's been happening here at the convention.
Yeah. Well, in 2007, the Synod asked the two seminaries to provide programs for preparation of pastors in specific ministry situations, generally where in a congregation, a full-time pastor could not be provided. Usually in situations where a congregation couldn't afford to pay a pastor, maybe it was a very remote situation, a small rural kind of situation. And we in confessional Lutheranism throughout the centuries have affirmed the importance of the men being proclaimers of Christ publicly and administering the sacraments to be ordained, rather than just faithful laymen in those situations. And so the SMP program that came out of that convention action called for the two seminaries to provide programs by which men could be trained for the ministry primarily by distance education. In each of the two seminary programs, the men come on campus for intensives at various times during the year, but much of the coursework is done by distance. At the Fort Wayne Seminary, we're delighted to be a part of that. I am actually the director of the SMP program in Fort Wayne, and I've presented four goals for the program. I won't go into those in detail at this point, but the bottom line is through a number of things, we want to see that program is truly excellent. We recognize, and we will go to the mat for the reality that the residential program is always going to offer the best pastoral formation, not just because of the more intense academic experience, that's worth quite a lot, but also the formation that takes place when men come together for worship, for conversation, for all of the immersion in pastoral preparation that can take place over a four-year residential program. But within the limitations of the distance education, we really have it as our goal to deliver an excellent preparation for the ministry, specifically for those limited and specific cases.
You know, I was going to say, Carl, just listening to that I can amen what you're saying, because being at that residential program, you know, the things that went on just over coffee among my fellow seminarians and the professors outside the classroom, they could listen to me and my feedback, correct me, admonish me, encourage me, which they did. And just among us seminarians, so vital in my formation, and still is. And you know, being away with just one or two other pastors, you don't get that.
Right. That give and take day to day is so very important, right, even outside the classroom.
That's right. Yeah, in the SMP program, an important component is for a good local mentor to work with the pastoral student, and that is crucial. And a great deal of development happens there. I always say, though, it is true every pastor has 50 or 60 years of contextual education. He has field education, he has vicarage, but once he goes out as a pastor, he is immersed in a context from the very beginning in which he's going to grow every year for those 50 or 60 years of ministry. What can't take place as easily later on is that theological immersion that takes place during the seminary experience. Nevertheless, in the SMP program, we believe that we are doing really an excellent job within those parameters, and so we're supportive of the program. We want to be sure that it's used as it was originally intended.
Yeah, that's
not to be the
focus and the scope of it.
Exactly.
And before we let you go, and it's so kind of you to stop it, because I know they're doing business maybe now and affecting you, but can you talk to us about this emphasis that was here at this convention for the continuing education of us pastors?
Right. Well, in most professions, of course, continuing education is required. Medical profession, legal profession, teachers, and so on, all are required to have certain numbers of credits for continuing education. In our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministerium, that has never been the case. But I think most people recognize the importance of that. The truth is there are fantastic opportunities all year long for pastors to have good, solid continuing education, and that's been emphasized at this convention. Every district offers pastors' conferences during the year that bring in significant substance for continuing education. Both seminaries have continuing education courses, particularly in the summer, where pastors can come to a site, usually a pretty pleasant site, in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or something like that.
That's a great site there.
Yeah, that's a great site.
I've done that one.
Been there a few times.
That's good stuff. And study for a number of days. And so one of the emphases that the convention did pick up was, while not making continuing education mandatory with penalties if a person doesn't do it, strongly encouraging what I think we all agree truly is important. And if any pastors really aren't engaging in continuing education, I think that encouragement is very appropriate, because we all know that we continue to grow not only in our pastoral skills, but even in faith as we continue to study together throughout our ministry. So I think that's a very valuable action by the convention.
Thank you so much for that. Dr. Carl Kincher, professor at our beloved seminary in Fort Wayne, Concordia Theological Seminary, thanks for the great things the Lord is doing through you. Continued blessings. Thanks for taking your time today.
You bet.
And we look forward to maybe doing a live remote from your glorious place upcoming. So
that'd be a pleasure.
Keep up the good work. Thanks for stopping
by. God's blessings.